The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Habit 5. Seek first to understand, then to be understood.
This next habit is so useful, so practical. I'm very excited about teaching it. I think you'll see why when we get into it. Because it has immediate value and application. I mean, you can use it tonight. It's the key skill of how to listen. How to listen in depth to other people. But let me just preface this habit by first of all acknowledging that without any question, communication is the most important skill in life. Half of our waking hours as adult is spent in some form of communication. Literally. Right now you're listening, you're writing. I'm speaking. This whole day is communication. There's four forms of communication, basically. Reading, speaking, writing, and listening. Now watch this. How many have had years of training in reading, writing, speaking? How many have had years of training in listening? You've been practicing listening. But my guess is there's very few people who've had more than a few hours or a few days at most in training in listening. But we've had many years on reading and writing, on the technique, getting feedback on how well we're doing, not listening. If I were to summarize in one sentence the single most important principle I have ever learned in the field of interpersonal relations, this would be the sentence: seek first to understand, then to be understood. Literally. In fact, most of my mistakes fall in not honoring that principle. And where I do succeed, I'm convinced it's because I have honored that principle. Seek first to understand. As we mentioned earlier, the tendency of most people is not to listen with the intent to understand, but listen with the intent to reply. They're speaking or preparing to speak. Consequently, their energy is not in really understanding what another person is attempting to communicate. Not just in their words. See, the most significant kind of communication is nonverbal. Nonverbal. Not verbal. It's not your words. It's not something I hear with my ears. It's something I see with my eyes and feel with my heart. That's the music of another person. Few people are trained to listen to that. They're filtering everything through their autobiography. They're reading their home movie constantly into other people's lives, projecting their intentions on other people's behavior. Oh, I know exactly why he's doing that. They're just projecting their intention on it, see? It's called projection. Home movie reading, see? Because they don't really deeply understand what's happening inside other people. They don't know how to. They haven't been trained to, or they don't have the emotional strength, because I'm telling you, if you start to listen, you are vulnerable. I mean really listen. I don't mean superficial listening. I mean empathic listening. In fact, if I were to classify, they haven't been trained to, or they don't have the emotional strength, because I'm telling you, if you start to listen, you are vulnerable. I mean really listen. I don't mean superficial listening. I mean empathic listening. In fact, if I were to classify listening under five areas, I would say one would be ignoring, not listening at all, just ignoring. Another one would be pretend listening. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. I understand. Another one would be selective listening, like with your little five-year-old. You know, if you were to empathize constantly every second, you'd just never do anything else. So you have to kind of select. Because of this running chatter program. The next one would be attentive listening. You're attending. You're attending. You're listening. Your energies are there. But the highest is empathic listening. Empathic. You deeply get inside other people. Meaning you get inside their frame of reference. You look out through it. You see how they see the world. You understand their paradigm. You understand how they feel. It's not that you judge them. Not that you agree with them. It's not sympathy. Empathy is not sympathy. Sympathy is a form of agreement. It's a form of judgment. Empathy is where you see how they see it, feel how they feel. That kind of listening is powerful. Deeply, deeply therapeutic. Healing. I'll tell you why it's so healing. It's like giving air to somebody, psychologically, rather than biologically. It affirms them. See, the deepest need of the human soul is to be understood. To be affirmed, to be validated, to be appreciated. You can't truly appreciate unless you understand. The height of our gratitude is the height of our understanding. See, to really do that, it takes a tremendous amount of energy inside of us. It's risky. It's risky. We become vulnerable. But it can be done. It's very powerful. It gives people air. If we were to suck the air out of this room right now, what would happen to your interest in these discussions? See, you only have one interest now. That is survival. You want air, right? Now that you have air, does it motivate you? No, it doesn't at all. See, a satisfied need does not motivate. It's only the unsatisfied needs that motivate. You know what the first need that follows physical survival? Psychological survival. You matter. You matter, see? I affirm you as a person. Enormously healing and therapeutic. Now, by the way, the principle we're talking about here is a generic principle. It covers all of life. Every successful profession utilizes the principle. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Think about them. Medicine. What's the basic discipline? What's the basic technique of medicine? Diagnose before you prescribe. What's our principle? Seek first to understand, then to be understood. Our little Jenny, when she was very, very little, had a combination of vomiting and diarrhea. Same thing happened with our Cynthia, when she was very little, and it really scared us because she was thrown into the hospital with severe dehydration. Jenny got it. We were again scared. It was a big football game in our community that just dominated the consciousness of everybody. We wanted to be there, but couldn't because of this illness. And we were worried about Jenny, but we were listening to the game. And our doctor was there. And the one who was on call was there. So I said, we've got to call him. Sandra called him. Had to be paged right in the middle of a very critical time in the football game. You could feel it immediately in his tone of voice. Sandra told me, yes, yes, you know, get to it. Let's be officious. I want to get back too. Yes. Doctor, this is Mrs. Cubby and we're concerned about little Jenny. What's the situation? Describe the symptoms and so forth. Okay, I'll call in a prescription. Where's your drugstore? We told. Hung up. Sandra felt like she didn't give full data, but adequate. I said, you know, Sandra, do you think he realizes that Jenny is just a newborn? Oh, I'm sure he does. Sure he does. Yeah, but he's not our doctor. Yeah, but he's seen her, I think. Yeah, he has seen her. Yeah, but are you sure of that? Oh, I'm almost sure. Almost? What can we do? Call him back. You call him back. So I called him back. This time I introduced myself as Dr. Covey. The kind of doctor that don't know nobody no good. Doctor, you know, did you realize that when you gave that last prescription that Jenny is just a newborn? Just 2 months old? Oh, well, I didn't realize that. That's good you called me back. We'll have to change the prescription, see? See, you'd have no confidence in any prescription unless you had confidence in the diagnosis. No use seeking to be understood unless you're sure you understand. The whole key to human influence is first be influenced. The salesperson has to first understand what the need is, what the concern is, the goal, the situation of the other person. Then sells. What does the amateur salesman do? Sells products. The professional sells solutions to needs, solutions to problems. Totally different approach. But that means the professional has to learn more how to diagnose, how to understand, how to see exactly what the need is. That takes skill. And then he also has to learn how to cause a marriage between that and the products and services and have the integrity to say, my product and service will not meet that need if it will not. Now, that's a whole bunch of other characteristics that amateur salespeople often don't have at all. Take every other profession. Law. What do you need to do in law? gather the facts, understand the precedent, the law, right? Before you prepare your case. You almost write the opposing attorney's case before you write your own. Engineering, what do? Understand the forces, the stresses at work before you design the bridge. How about product design? Can you imagine someone in a company saying, to heck with all this consumer research stuff, we got to design products. Can you imagine that? Maybe you can't imagine that. In other words, forget learning, forget understanding, let's just design products. Teaching. Pre-assess. See? Pre-assess. Before you teach. Read the need. Read the level. You go skiing, the first thing they do is say, where are you? What level? And watch you a little, and they put you in that class, see? Seek first to understand, then to be understood. How many of us do essentially that with a lot of people we work with? See, we just prescribe out of our own autobiography. Let me tell you about my experience. Read chapters 2, 3, 4, and 5, see? We're well-meaning, but we're projecting. Reading home movies into other people's lives. They help me. I know exactly how you're feeling. I remember. Let me tell you. See? It's the autobiographical comment. See, that is the barrier. That is the problem. We listen autobiographically. In fact, here are four autobiographical responses that are very, very common. One is we evaluate. Evaluation takes two forms. What are they? Agreement. Disagreement. Sympathy is a form of agreement. Two, we probe. Where do we get our questions? Right, from our own background, our frame of reference. Where do we get our values? From us. Three, we advise. Where do we get our advice? Right, our autobiography. And four, we interpret. Interpret means to kind of, figure someone out. Explain their behavior, explain their motive. Well, you say this because you were always dumped on your head when you were a little kid, and it kind of upset your metabolism and your marbles were lost. No, we have people figured out. See, we kind of label them, or we psychoanalyze them, we amateur shrink them, we interpret them. All four of those are autobiographical. Now, I'd like to play a role with you. I am your son. You are my father or my mother. I'm 15 years old. Just started high school. One of these beloved teenagers. Now, I'm going to split this room in half. I want this half to observe when this half uses autobiographical responses, okay? What are the four kinds again? Evaluation, probing, advice, interpretive. Don't speak up, just observe it. Now we're going to work with these people over here. Dad, this school is for the birds.
What seems to be the problem?
Well, I get nothing out of it. It just is, it's just totally impractical. Dad?
You go and you don't think you get anything out of it?
None. It just doesn't have any relevance in life at all.
Well, now, when I went to school...
Now, occasionally, I'll turn to the side over here, and I'll talk to my alter ego, and it'll tell you what's happened to me inside, okay? But you have to act as if you can't hear it, okay? Oh, here I have to listen to chapters 3, 4, and 5 of Dad's autobiography. I don't really care how many miles he trudged through the snow up to his belly button every morning without any boots on, and all the way home at the end of school. Well, Dad, if you've gone through it, then you know what I mean about this school. It just seems so worthless and nothing out of it.
Well, we can't always have things just the way we like them.
Here comes lecture number 16. You don't hear that. Keep talking.
You have to accept.
Oh, do I have to endure this lecture again? Here comes pull yourself up by the...
You put in.
Yeah.
Right, boy. A surrogate dad, he just couldn't stand not to be in there.
But I think you have to accept to just bear down a little and give a little more to the school. Give them some credit, son.
I've tried, Dad. Really, I've been there 2 months now. I mean, that's a long time to really try to. I have given it the fair try, okay?
Let's be honest with ourselves now, son. Now, have you really tried?
I have tried, and the other guys feel just like I do, Dad. They really do.
That's a very highly respected school, son. Your mother and I are paying dearly for that school.
Here comes the guilt trip.
Do you realize the sacrifices we've made to send you to that school, son?
Well, I know, and I had really kind of a very optimistic feeling when I started this high school, but now, I don't know, everything seems so irrelevant and so impractical. You know, it just doesn't deal with life, Dad.
I haven't received anything from the teachers saying that you're having any problems, son. Why do you think you're struggling there?
Boy, I'd like to talk about what I want to talk about, but Dad wants to get to the depth of my problems. He won't even listen to me as to what I've tried to say. I just feel like it's just useless to keep on going like this. I don't know. It just bugs the tar out of me to wish he could understand what I'm trying to feel and say. But
we're doing our best for you, son.
Oh, I know, Dad, and I appreciate it. I don't know if there's much value in staying in this school because, you know, I'm not learning anything, Dad, and you know, you're always talking about try to be where the rubber meets the pavement, and I figure maybe I ought to get a job, and, you know, then I could be out there, and I could make some money and kind of earn my own way, you know what I mean, Dad?
Son, you're just not trying hard enough. I want you just to try harder in this school.
Really, I'm trying so hard. You could ask
Mother went to that school, and back to this well, and he scored. He was an honor student.
Oh, no.
And your sister graduated from that school.
I know, and I was planning to, but it's just different than I thought, Dad. It really...
It's a family tradition.
Oh, well, I don't know, Dad. Okay, what's happening?
Nobody was seeking to understand each other.
No, I understand.
Nobody wanted to put that first step forward and say, let me understand you first, and then...
Okay, the reason is, this group hasn't yet been trained. Wait till you see this group. Particularly these first four.
Started that in.
Now, keep observing this now. Well, Dad, you see, the thing is, you know, if I don't get much out of school, I just figure what value is there to stay in there. See what I mean?
Son, what makes you think you're not getting anything out of school?
I'd like to talk about what I want to talk about, but Dad wants to explore why I'm not getting things out of school. I think that the teachers are too theoretical, you know? Take the social studies. They talk about a theory they call social exchange theory of reciprocity. I mean, you know what I mean. And they don't talk about even the stuff that's in the newspapers. Dad, see what I mean? How impractical?
No, I don't. Won't you help me understand that?
Well, I wish I could talk about what I want to talk about, but I got to fabricate about a bunch of intellectual answers to his questions. Well, take economics, you know. All the time they're talking about supply and demand theory. You know, and what's that got to do with making money? You know what I mean, Dad?
Not yet, son.
Oh, I got to come up with more. This is so hard.
Is there something really at the bottom of all this that is making
Dad
you upset?
Dad wants to get at the nubbins of the problem at his pace and speed. I'll get there when I want to. Last time I opened up my soft underbelly, he elephant stomped it with an I told you so. Well, Dad, the thing is, all the other guys feel like I do. I've given it the real effort, you know, and I just don't know if I should stay with it. I could do other things, Dad.
What other things would you like to do, son?
What other things you'd like to do? I wish I could talk about what I want to talk about, but Dad wants to explore the other things. Get a job like Joe has. He's got a great job, Dad. Makes good money. He avoids the hassle of the homework. He has his own car now.
Is he in school?
No, he quit. See, and he's learning a lot, too, Dad, a lot. He's learning how to meet people and make money, things like that.
He's learning more in working than going
to school. Oh, so much more, Dad.
Really?
Yeah. kind of always had it against Joe, haven't you?
No, I really like your friend Joe.
Just because of his long hair.
Different than your hair.
I can take a few more withdrawals, because you're in... He's a good guy, Dad.
I'm trying to understand you, son, but could you be more specific about it? There's something bothering you. I don't really understand what
it is. Dad wants me to get specific at the deepest part of my problem. Oh, boy, there's no way I would do that. But I have to come up with something to satisfy him. Well, it just seems that if I could quit and get a job and make some money, and I would probably learn more that way about what life's about, see, instead of all this theory.
Maybe do both? Do some work and go to school? Okay,
what's he doing?
Probing.
It's probing. It's one of the main reasons parents do not get close to their kids. They probe. How's it going, kid? Fine. Well, what's happening lately, son? Nothing. Well, what's exciting to you in school? Nothing. Not much. What are your plans for the weekend? Playing it by ear. I try to show an interest in my boy, you know, and I get one and word, two-word answers out of him. I can't get him off the phone with his friends. Just talk endlessly. And he gives me one or two words. Oh, show more interest. Listen more. Oh, yeah. Okay, good. I'll try to do it. One time with my daughter, I was probing. Hi, honey. How's it going? Oh, I don't know. Well, seem to be so unhappy. What is it? Oh, I don't know. Well, if you just kind of let me know, I'd sure like to help you. Oh, it's just so hard to say. You'll tell Mary and Susan, your best friends, but sometimes you won't open up and tell your mother and I, who loves you like we do, honey, and who has your long-range interests at heart. Just go up. Tell us how you really feel. I hate school. What do you mean you hate school? In our family, you like school. If you'd apply yourself like your older sister, you'd do well at school. I've told you that before. It's just a matter of applying yourself. You got the equipment. Now, go ahead, honey. Tell us how you feel. I even added, besides, you can't afford to hate school. I'm an educator. I mean, our tendencies are almost entirely autobiographical, aren't they? But, you know, something has happened, though. You observers have learned. Right? Huh? Now, these people want to observe you because you've been in the observer role. You've been detached, see? And you've used all this good stuff we've been teaching. Now you can apply it. Are you ready to practice empathy? Okay, I'll tell you what the essence of empathy is. Listen with your eyes for feeling. Listen with your eyes for feeling. Okay? Yeah, Mom, I just feel that Joe's job is just... You know, the things he can do and the freedom he has, the money he makes. And he's learning so much, too, Mom.
Are you feeling like you're not being able to accomplish those things?
What are you doing?
Probing
is what? Autobiographical. Plus, there was some interpretation in that, figuring me out, see? No, listen with your eyes. Reflect my feeling. Reflect my feeling. Just, Mom, I just... the things he can do, the money he makes, the freedom he has.
It really sounds like you like what he's doing. I'm just supposed to reflect what you're
reflect
saying.
Reflect my feeling.
It's a nice feeling to be self-sufficient and to be on your own.
Right. It's not that you say that you agree, but it's reflecting I feel that way. His job turned you on. Yeah, I mean... I don't know. He brags about it so much. Brag, 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 brag. Makes you wonder.
Yeah, I notice he's been bragging a lot lately. It kind of isn't the greatest feeling, is it?
See, that was good. See, she read something is wrong in his bragging. Yeah, I don't think he means it at all.
Doesn't make you feel very good, does it?
I think he's really sad he quit school. I think anyone who quits school today is out of their tree, Mom. You just need school today. It's the whole key to your future, Mom.
Do you think that's really important?
That was beautiful. See? She reflected my feeling instead of agreeing with me, which would be evaluation. That was beautiful. It does. I mean, I don't see how a person, particularly today, can make it through life without schooling.
Do you think your school is really important?
Oh, so important. That is beautiful. You're giving them freedom to go to the next level, see? We're just unpeeling an onion, one layer after another. The soft inner core is the most tender part. When you say it, or when you interpret it, or judge it, or praise it, or analyze it, or figure it out, you're superimposing your autobiography.